It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guy.
Welcome. You're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Jethro FM, WBRN Big Rapids, JIM Lansing. Man, we're growing and it's cool. And it's. I'm glad you're tuned in and going to spend an hour with us. And we're going to talk a little barbecue today. I'm Jop. He's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
What's cooking? Just getting ready to, first of all, we're pre-recording this because we're heading into the woods Saturday morning. So, by the time you hear this, I'll be in a tree, hopefully watching some beautiful wildlife and getting ready to strike. I'm bloodthirsty this morning.
Are you?
I am.
I'm just thirsty because I'm doing the same thing. I'm headed to bow camp, but not bringing a weapon, just bringing a Blackstone.
Well, that is a weapon in the wrong hands.
Right, yeah, exactly. No, we do the bow camp. We'll talk more about that, but I've got, I don't know, 40, 50 guys that I'll be feeding on Saturday evening. It's a just kind of kick off the season, little family / high school reunion. I look forward to it every year.
Well, check this out. The fella that owns the land, it's a family trust, but the fella that owns the land I hunt on, his name is Bo Camp.
Yep, that's right, yeah.
What else would you do there?
Right.
He won't let us duck hunt.
Right, yeah, well, they're too pretty, right?
Yeah. I think he thinks if you shoot the ducks, we won't have any.
Right, yeah.
He doesn't realize he's seeing different ducks every day. And I'm not going to try and tell him. I'm happy to use it for bow camp.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I'm bringing my son Jordan up, and we're just going to have a nice last night we will have had a nice cigar by the campfire. We set up the big expedition tent. I got it all hooked up with some nice permanent posts in ground and a metal rod going across the top, so no high winds are going to take us out this time.
Yeah, speaking of high winds, say a shout-out and a prayer for our friends in Florida that, well, all over the southeast now because it's coming back on land, and hopefully it doesn't hit the Carolinas as bad as it did Florida. But I had a brother that hung in there and rode that thing out, and he's halfway, it's a town called Inglewood, halfway between Tampa and Fort Myers, dead in the eye. And he rode it out, still doesn't have power, but they're okay. They were inland about 4 miles, and the surge didn't get there.
No.
And which is great, but they got all the wind and lost trees and stuff.
I called to check on my sister-in-law, my brother Mike, who passed a year and a half ago. They had a place in Punta Gorda at Burnt Storm Arena, right on the water.
Ooh.
And I called her, and she said, nope, I'm back home. They have a home in Spring Lake. So she said, I'm back up in Michigan.
Yeah.
But her girlfriend stayed there to keep an eye on the place. And I'm a little worried about Donna.
Well, you see,
because she's like 75, 80 years old.
Yeah, you see some of the pictures, and some of those monster yachts just look like they're stacked up like cordwood. You know, that, I don't know, did you see the pictures where the wind blew all the water out of Tampa Bay?
No.
Huge water, that is. Well, then it came back. Yeah, they were looking out through, there was just mud.
Wow.
Is all it was. And then,
oh, there's my watch.
Right, right. And about, in about 4 hours later, it came surging back in, you know, with a 10-foot wall of water.
Oh, my.
Yeah, and all those boats that were tied up just lifted up and set on shore. Man, they're all stacked up. It's crazy.
Well, there's going to be a lot of work to do. So if you're in the building trades, I'd get my trailer hooked up. And my big diesel pickup truck and a sleeping bag. Don't forget the tent.
Yeah, right.
And a bunch of coolers and a bunch of water because there isn't going to be any.
Right, yep.
And your generator with gas, go. Go, man. There's instant work, as much as you can handle.
For as long as you want to be down there, yeah. Yep. But that's a unfortunate situation. But, hey, this is America, baby. We're all going to pull together and help these people and get them back on their feet as soon as we can. But they were showing pictures of swans swimming down city streets between the buildings.
I saw a shark.
Yeah, right. I heard that, too. I didn't see that one.
I didn't see that one.
Yeah.
Guy's going, I've heard about this,
and he wasn't selling watches?
No, he was out of water. You could tell he didn't know where to go because it's like, it's getting thinner and thinner. Turn around, pal.
Yeah, right. Go with the flow. It'll get you back there. Right.
Or just sit tight. We're getting a spear gun.
Right. Yeah.
There's some good steaks there.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. So Yeah, it's that beautiful time of year. I mean, I was listening to a botanist, and they were talking about how all the he might have been an arborist, but
what's that? Plants or trees? They were. Am I following?
Are you done?
I am. I'm just trying to keep up.
They were talking about how this year has been so healthy for all the trees that the leaves are just super healthy, and you're going to see like they're going to hold. They're not under duress because we haven't had a drought, so they're going to hold their green right up until they can't, and then it's just going to boom, just like that, just like when they came out in the spring. I was telling you about that grand solar minimum, how they just popped in one day. He said the fall colors are going to do something kind of similar. They're going to hang on, and then it's just going to be an amazing color experience.
Oh,
so
that's cool.
We got some great road trips to do.
My birthday's in a couple of weeks, and usually I remember that I have clients in northern Michigan, and I'd go up there around my birthday to talk to them, and you'd nail the color every year. And I'm sure it's a little later this year, I believe, because we're not seeing it. The TV isn't blatting about it. You know, your colors are peak here or there like they normally do. So I'm with you, man. But so this weekend, again, we're recording on Friday here because Bob and I are going to do bow hunting stuff. We're going to be talking a little bit about food and some of the equipment that we use when we go to bow camp. Mine is really a bow barn. It's not a bow camp. We're on a guy's pole barn.
His name
driveway.
Isn't Bow Camp. So,
right,
I mean,
right.
It makes
and,
sense.
So I'm bringing, for the first time ever, I'm just bringing a griddle. I've got one of these Blackstones.
So pancakes are on the menu?
No, because it's all evening stuff. And we'll cover the menu as we go through the show.
Oh, so you're going home at the end of the night.
No, I'm staying there.
Then there's breakfast the next day.
Well, but nobody's there.
You are.
Everybody leaves. Yeah, you're right. You know what?
You got to make some pancakes on that, baby.
Right, and throw in some eggs and some bacon.
So you're going to have that inside the pole barn then?
I could. I'll probably do it outside if the weather holds and it's supposed to be good. So, yeah, just so if it smokes a little bit, it doesn't smoke everybody up. But you got a big pole barn. So if it rained or the weather got bad, I can go on one side and then, you know, nobody even knows.
Use a nice corn oil on it.
Yeah. I've got avocado oil because of a high flash point that smokes at about 500 degrees.
Oh, okay. Better yet.
Yeah. So that's what I bought. It's a little pricey.
I bet.
It's $12 for like a quart of it.
Well, that's because you're paying for all the pain and suffering you caused everybody wanting guacamole.
Right. Yeah, exactly. We used up the oil in their guacamole avocados. But
or maybe they're crushing the seeds for that.
I don't know. I don't know what they're doing, but it's avocado
Conrad,
oil.
Conrad, can you help us out here? Avocado oil. Where's that stuff coming from? And don't tell me
an avocado.
The skin.
Yeah.
The skin of a teenage
avocado. Right. Yeah.
I don't know, man. I'm over here just waxing up my bow. That's
okay. Yeah, that's that what you call that?
I'm glad there's a window between me and you.
Oh, he's got the code, doesn't he? So listen, thanks for joining us. It is the Grillin' Guys. It's the smokiest show on the airwaves, and we want you to go to thegrillinguys.com. Give us a like on Facebook or Fakebook, and then hit on the right side of the cover page, you'll see all of our sponsors. Give them a like, check them out, see what kind of specials they're running. I know Mike Lindell has My Pillows. Your code is BBQ. Alan Bob's right now is smoking hot, and they've got all kinds of inventory. So if you haven't got everything you need to go hunting, it's a great time to do it. Merle has brought in just a boatload of tree stands, and of course he's got that cradle
sling.
Sling, and it's there's just all kinds of ways you can get out and enjoy the fall. You don't even have to bring a bow. You can just climb up there and fake it.
That's right.
It's a good place for a nap. Randy will tell you that.
Yeah, well, that it is. And if you love nature like Bob and I do, then it's a great place to go and sit in a tree, because you'd be amazed what you see if you just sit there quiet. There's a lot going on in that
woods. With your eyes open.
Right, yeah.
I got to tell you, looking across the woods once, and Randy and I were up north, I bought these two big, beautiful 22-foot stands, and he's at the top of the world, mouth open, sawing logs.
Right.
That's all I had to
add. Well, it might have been a rough night the night before, I'm just saying, but, you know, it is what it is. That's part of deer camp, too, is you go back and you think you're a kid again, and yeah. You do things you shouldn't do, and you feel bad the next day as a result of it. But anyway, coming up next, we're going to talk about a little camp food. And Philly's might be on there. I don't know what else, but we'll talk with you in a minute.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
Hey, this is Joe from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobe Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobe Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You've got to try Sobe Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat, and no tofu. With me and Chop, it never gets dull. The grill's so big, it's like a ship's hull. Grillin' Guys, I tell no lies.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grillin' Guys, Grillin' Guys Talk Network, Jethro FM, and all of our affiliates across this great state of Michigan. We appreciate you tuning in. We're recording on Friday, but happy Saturday to all of you guys. Barbecue Bob and I, this is the deer opener. It's probably not the best time of the year to hunt as far as the deer movement and the bucks being stupid chasing does, but it sure is a beautiful time of year to be out in a tree. So that's why Bob's going, I'm just going to cook, man. But
well, you'll at least maybe get to help carve up a deer because you'll have a couple serious hunters out of that group.
There are. Yep, you're right. And somebody will stick one.
But you're not even bringing your crossbow or anything.
Nothing.
Huh?
I'm not going to get there till 2 in the afternoon, and I'm going to cook all day and all night, and then get
that's
up
Saturday?
Morning. Yeah, that's okay. Saturday, and then get up in the
today.
Morning. Come home. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Yep.
You're going to do something we do at the kitchen, and I think that's really cool. I'm sure you're loving your Blackstone.
I'm learning it.
Yeah.
Are the
hot spots real bad?
Nope, they're not, because they're linear burners, not left to right, but front to back, and there's four of them.
So you can kind of find your hot spots.
Well, obviously, the right over the burners is the hottest.
Yeah.
Spot. But there's quite a bit of temperature control on it, and there's four of them. And you know that just like your cast, this steel griddle radiates heat pretty good. I mean, the heat spreads pretty evenly. The corners, because the burners are, again,
right,
front to back, the corners are cold, but that actually works out good because I slide food over there
right
when it's done,
right,
and it just stays there. And,
without burning it.
Right, and so depending on how
there's
many
a learning curve.
Right, yes. and I would not cook on the thing with it on high. It
right
gets way too hot.
Yeah.
And I suppose if you wanted to sear something, put one of the burners like that, but it's just... Medium seems to work best for me so far. Things don't stick. They don't burn. The first time I had it too hot when I tried the Phillies, you know, because I'm a guy that doesn't go to somebody's house and cook something new for the first time without trying it at home. And I'm glad I did, because I buy this shaved prime rib from Sobeys,
mm-hmm,
right? And it cooked so fast that it got charred on one side in like 30, 45 seconds because I had it way too hot.
That's what we make. We just came out with this week is our first week. I had to do that for somebody. I had a catering gig where I needed shaved prime rib for the funeral a couple weeks ago. So I bought a bunch of it, and I had bought too much, and I threw some in the freezer, and I pulled it out this week, thawed it, and added it to the menu. And, of course, I have a beautiful, really thick flat top, and it doesn't have those issues with temperature. It's slow.
Yours is commercial.
It's slow to respond.
Right.
I mean, you got to, you know,
give it some time to warm up.
You have to be thinking ahead. You're not just going to whip it on like that. One of yours, you can whip it on in 2-3 minutes. You can be throwing food on
exactly
it.
Exactly.
This stuff that Sobeys has, you get probably, I don't know, 3/4 inch stacks with wax paper separations in them. So you just pull out one of those bands, and I oil it up. I just use corn oil, and I throw it on the flat top, and then I take my tongs, and I go about halfway into it. And, of course, I'm seasoning it. I'm using garlic salt. and I grab about half that stack, flip it over, so I'm doing about half of that much of a stack, and then I can get my big spatulas under it, and it doesn't take more than like a minute or two,
right?
And it's ready to pop, and I'll pop it over, and then I'll pop the other one over. I'm saying it's maybe 2 minutes,
yep.
And I have to pull that thing because I want the center to be rare.
Right.
I want it to look like I do a prime rib or a ribeye.
Yep.
And because that's what it is, a shaved ribeye loin. And gosh, you put that on a hamburger bun, it's already round. It's just perfect.
Yeah.
You put it on a hamburger bun. As a matter of fact, you were talking about what to take. I don't know if you bought your rolls yet, but I would get their Kaiser and I would do individuals like that because it's going to fit perfectly. Your pattern is absolutely perfect.
Yep.
And it kind of
wrinkles up a
little
bit.
A little bit.
When it cooks.
So you can play with it, but you just saute some onions and green peppers, and then you throw a little bit of cheddar cheese on it. Oh, baby.
Yeah, right. So I got a question for you. I'm going to be doing this for 35, 40 people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be a short order cook when I get there. And cook
no, you're
going to
whack them all out.
Right. So what I thought I would do is bring just an aluminum chafer pan, a quarter one or a half, just the smaller ones, and I'd throw maybe like 6-8 ounces of beef broth in there, and then just cook these things off, throw that in there when the beef broth is warm on the griddle, so I'm pulling it out of there and I get a little au jus on my sandwich with the beef.
Because
what I want to do is cook it all off
just not
and then
too
just
much.
Start serving them so they came out hot.
Right.
Right? And put 3 or 4 on a platter, send them in, put the next platter, send them in, and let the people eat them. And I think they're best that way. And
just don't put too much broth in that pan,
okay?
Because you're going to flood your cheese.
Oh,
and
okay.
then it looks disgusting.
Yeah, so maybe if I pick it out of there and let it drip a little bit, and then throw it on the sandwich roll. I'm getting those French rolls that you use for the Philly.
Right.
The Schnitz Bakery, which is on Fulton and Fuller area in Grand Rapids. If you hear, you got to go check these guys out. Their sandwich rolls are amazing.
Yeah, they're on Fulton, just east of the Schnitz Deli.
West and Fuller area.
I have a load there every week.
I know. And it's great because their bread is so good. And you cut that stuff in half and throw that Philly on there and then chop up 2 or 3 pieces. It'll be great. I'm really looking forward to putting that out there.
Yeah, and if you're doing it your way, then you don't know who's eating what, then you might want to be a little rough when you're tossing those thin little pieces of meat around so it does crumple up and wrinkle, and then you get that women don't necessarily like the rare,
right?
Or even some guys.
So so let me ask you, peppers and onions, I'm 100% with you.
The other thing is you've got to get them to conform to that long roll instead of what I was suggesting.
Piece, yeah.
Yep. So that
hit them with a spatula, cut it up a little bit.
You'll find out. It works a little better. It crumples up so much you can just manipulate it. You put your cheese on it. You're golden.
Throw a dome over it. Let it melt down a little bit.
Well, now what you're doing, you see, that meat can't be on your flat top very long.
Right.
So what I do is I pre-cook a bunch of peppers and onions, and then I make these long lines like a college party. You make these long lines on the grill.
Right.
And then I put my cheddar on top of them, and then I put my dome over it.
Okay.
And I let them melt there, and I take my 2 long spatulas. I flip the meat up on the bun, then I grab 1 stack, flip it on the bun.
Nice.
And the presentation's amazing.
Well, and this is part of why you listen to the Grilling Guys, because that tip right there makes a difference between an overdone sandwich and one that's perfect.
And
because you did
you
weren't leaving the meat on the grill while you were cooking the vegetables.
Yeah. Nope.
You do those first. The order of things makes a difference.
Yep.
Right?
And a matter of fact, that meat, and I would contend that meat is so delicate, you're going to want to grill it and put it in your warming pan right next to you, or hold it while you're doing all the vegetables. Pre-cook all your vegetables, and then when you're ready to do your lines,
right?
Then put your cheddar on, and put your domes on, get them ready. And as those are steaming and melting, you get 4 buns, because you're going to do, I don't know how long your dome is, but you're going to do 4 to 5 buns.
Right.
Actually, I might even grill up those buns a little bit.
Put a little toast on them on the side.
A little bit of toast. You're not going to need, they're going to be fresh. You're not going to need any butter, garlic butter, anything like that.
Right.
Because then they'll get too mushy.
Yep.
So just crisp them up. And if you get your buns laid out, put your meat on them, pull up your dome, boom.
Right. All right, well, coming up next, we're going to continue this camp food because we're just getting started. You listen to The Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Barbecue Bob here for the local hunting, fishing, and archery experts at Allen Bob Sports. The freshest, tastiest proteins you can put on the grill or in the smoker are the ones you harvest yourself. And Allen Bob Sports is everything you need to be a success in the field or on the water. For everything from bows and crossbows to firearms and fishing, go to Allen Bob Sports, now partnered with Millbrook Tack, just off US 131, exit 76, or shop online at MillbrookTack.com.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
Now hit me!
Oh, yeah. The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. It's the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, Bob and I are recording this on Friday because Saturday we're at deer camp. And so we've been talking about what we're taking for food for deer camp.
And we're hungry. You can tell by the conversation.
we just hit the Philly cheesesteak pretty hard. So we'll move on. But when I go to camp, I try to travel as light as you can, but have everything you need. So there's a little bit of a paradox there.
Yeah, you don't have your big excursion anymore.
I don't.
You've got
the land yacht is gone. Yeah. So
did you miss that 10 miles a gallon with $5 gas?
Right. Yeah. Not so much. But anyway, so I travel as light as I can, but try to bring everything you need. So plan. Write down lists. I'm old. I can't remember everything. There's lists that I have. Did I just go and stand there and look at the car right before I'm ready to go and check it off, man? Do I have it? And so this year I decided, I usually take smokers and grills and all kinds of stuff. I'm like, no, we're going with the Blackstone. Just one griddle, I can do this. So the second thing, the main course that I'm making is a stir fry. And I'm going to do steak, chicken, and shrimp. And then
you should have a wok.
I've done this twice now for people, and it works out.
You can do it with that flat.
Yeah,
huh?
But
so the sauce you kind of, I mean, I do a lot of liquids in my stir fry, so you kind of have to add that to the bowl then when you're done to juice it up a little bit.
Let me tell you that I'm going to give you a cheat that works really, really well for that is making rice. If you make rice and just put it on the flat top, it sticks.
Oh, you're doing fried rice.
Right.
Oh,
yes,
you said stir fry.
Well, yeah, that. The stir fry is going to go on top of the fried rice. But I was going to start with the rice. And the tip and the cheat that I've got for you is that if you learn how to do this, you cook the rice the night before, you spread it out on a pan, you put it in the fridge to let it dry out. Yep. Because if you take it right out of a hot pot, it'll be tacky. And it'll stick to your griddle, and it'll make a mess. I don't care how much oil you got on it. Yeah. You don't want all that oil in your rice, right? So the cheat is, and I learned this on YouTube. It's nothing I came up with, is you've seen those packs of Uncle Ben's rice where you put them in the microwave for 90 seconds. Mm. They're cooked already. Well, they make big ones, okay? I'm going to have so much seasoning and so much sauce on that rice mixed in the eggs and the vegetables to make the fried rice that you can't tell the difference between the fresh rice and that stuff. And you don't, it's already dried, it doesn't stick, and you just break the pack up and throw it on top of the griddle.
You're not doing any white rice at all?
Well, it is white rice. That Uncle Ben's comes
in. No, but you're going to make fried rice out of all of it.
Yeah.
And then put stir-fried on it.
Right, yes.
Okay, so you're violating one of my tenets.
Oh, what is that?
You don't put stir-fry on fried rice.
Well,
you got to have white rice.
Well, I've got fried rice as an entree, and the shrimp, the chicken, and the beef are going to be beside it, but there will be peas, carrots, and onions in the rice and egg, because I get the rice all done and I put a circle in it about the size of a dinner plate, and I'll put 5 or 6 eggs in there, kind of scramble them, right, and get them going, and then
frying.
Mix it in the rice as rice is frying. I get that all done. Then I put this, there's a sauce called Yoshida.
Yeah.
Yoshida. You buy it on, I can't find it locally, so I buy it online.
Yoshida your pants.
Right. But it's super good. It's not too salty. It's not too sweet. And it's called Mr. Yoshida's stir fry seasoning.
Huh.
And I was tipped on to that too by Mark Greaves. You know Mark from the church. He cooks a lot too. He's like, you got to try this stuff, man. It's great. And it is. So I just put that on the rice.
Is it not as salty as soy?
Correct. Correct. Okay. It's not salty at all. It's a finishing sauce is what it is. It's not soy. So anyway, at the end of the day, I've got the shrimp, the chicken, the beef, and I've got a big thing of fried rice. And people can take the rice, put
so
as much protein on it as they want.
So they can stir fry if they want.
Right.
On the side.
Right. Yep.
Or they can put it on their fried rice.
Right.
And so plenty will.
The onions, the diced carrots, and the peas are what is
I
in
love
the rice.
Fried rice.
Oh, man. It's good. And
my
it turns
family
out good.
Loves it. I told you this before, but I had this giant griddle that I put on top of our big kitchen range.
Right.
And Christmas Eve when we're having our party, I'll do up like we have a rice cooker, right? So I'll make up in advance two pots of rice, and I'll dump that out, and I'll just go to town. And I'll first, of course, start sautéing all my vegetables, and then I start dropping the rice on it.
Yep.
And it's exciting.
Yeah, it is, and it smells so good. And the cool part I like about it is that the whole thing doesn't take 10 minutes.
This isn't even deer camp food now. We're way off. We're down a bunny trail here.
Well, not really, because that's what I'm taking to a deer camp, and I'm going to watch these boys eat this stuff, and I know they will. So,
okay, well, maybe in the next segment we'll talk about the Dutch oven, because we're totally ignoring the Dutch oven, and that violates another tenant of deer camp.
That's a 20th, not a tenant. You definitely have to take a Dutch oven to deer camp, or you aren't at deer camp if you're hunting with the Nurmico family. So, and that's something that I've learned how to use, not nearly as well as they
goodness.
Are. But,
Conrad, I used to get grief from this guy every time on the show when we were at other stations long ago. The loser stations. Every time I'd bring up Dutch oven, his eyes would roll in the back of his head, and you'd think he was having a myocardial infarction. And he'd start ragging on me because I'm in love with my Dutch oven, and I'm like trying to tell him, it's like, dude, it's my crutch. It's just a crutch. It does so many things. It's like a Vegematic, you know. And so finally, I decided to shut him up, and I bought him one. And the angels started singing.
A light came on.
He's in my ear. Oh, man, that Dutch oven, blah, 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 blah. It's like, yeah, how about that?
Yep. How about that Dutch oven?
It took me a long time to figure this guy out, but I'm starting to get him figured
out. It was good. Well, I'm a simple man. It's just deep. I'm an inch wide and a mile deep.
How fancy does this deer camp cooking get?
You know, I might be overselling it a little bit because there's a lot of
deer camp. It's a giant pole barn filled with men and their wives. This is a giant party
is all it is. But it's always been around the first Saturday in October because that's the unofficial opening of deer camp.
Do you
camp.
Have a bunch of bunk beds there so you can all just crash?
Nope. I'll be staying in the fifth wheel where it's hooked to the water and the electricity. And if it gets a little nippy, I can just turn the heater on.
And you will.
Right.
Yeah. These nights are cool.
Does Merle ever warn you about sleeping in deer blinds at all?
No. Why?
We had an old story when Neil was visiting last week where a guy fell asleep in his deer blind. I think it was during firearm season. And he woke up because a deer ate his sock.
What?
Oh, my gosh.
Was it on his foot?
It was on his foot.
Holy cow.
So he didn't have his boots on.
Right, yeah.
It's legendary.
Hot, right? In the shack. Yeah.
Legendary story.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Wow. Well, that's pretty funny because I'm trying to leave this morning, and my wife's telling me, my daughter's dog is at our house, and she's telling me, you know, go get Cleo. And I'm like, she's in the basement. So as I'm walking out the door, I said, what was going on? She goes, oh, there were deer in the backyard.
Oh.
I said, oh, they're eating your hostas. It's okay.
Yep.
Trim them down, boys.
Right. Yep. Well, it's that time of year. They're going to die anyway when the first frost hits them. So,
Then I'm you know, kind of doing a pretty good clip on the way in, and Bennett is notorious with deer. And you get into these shaded spots, you can't see them. And sure enough, there was two bucks right there at the side of the road. And I'm like, nice to see you, boys. I'll see you later.
Right. They're running together still. So
and
that's why it's not great hunting now. I mean, you can get them in a group if they come by, but they're not crazy for the girls yet.
And I don't shoot any deer by my house. I've gotten weird about that. My grandkids like them, and I don't know. They're getting so crunched in by all the building they're doing around us that I kind of feel bad for them. They're losing their habitat.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've all seen urban deer. They're running in your backyard and eating your flowers and doing all that stuff.
Gangster sunglasses on.
Right, yeah. You know, the only thing that ever really harms them is a car.
Right.
You know,
your car usually.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Exactly. But anyway, so coming up next, I believe we're going to dive into the Dutch oven. I'm not really sure, but if I can resist it, we won't. But if I can't, we will.
I'm going to have to bust your chops about one thing before we do that.
Okay.
Conrad, how much time we have?
Enough, just enough to bust my chops.
So I'm busy cutting firewood last weekend, and I get a picture from my waitress, Rachel, who's up at the Bulldogs homecoming.
Ferris,
and she is standing with Randy with a beer in a very compromising pose.
Oh.
No, it wasn't really.
Yeah.
Oh.
So they're snuggling up holding a beer.
Right.
And I'm sweating to the 60s,
yeah,
cutting firewood. It's so hot, I had to take my shirt off. I mean, firewood is a big job.
Yeah, well, you get two heats out of it always. One when you cut it, one when you burn it.
So I'm like, yeah, great. Thanks, Randy. Thanks for showing me what fun I'm missing once again.
All right, coming up next, it's the Dutch oven.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
And I like fire.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys. Hang on to your shorts because here we go. We're going to be talking Dutch ovens, and I'm just going to shut up and let Bob go because you know what? These Dutch ovens, they're part of the Nurmico heritage. I'll chirp in every now and then, just try to keep him straight because he'll get on a roll here. But here we go.
It's funny because you say Dutch ovens in deer camp, and my dad tells me stories of the Depression when he was in the lumber camp in the UP. He was a lumberjack. And using two-man saws and axes and giant horses and amazing pictures we have of that. But they had Dutch ovens up there, too, and the three of them had to sleep together in a big bed with a million quilts on it. You know where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, that's a new definition of a Dutch oven.
It would suppress certain odors that big, burly men get when they're out in the woods like that.
Right, yep.
But the Dutch oven we're going to talk about is a beautiful Lodge 12-quart cast. It's my favorite. I've got some smaller ones, but I really like the big one because it's – well, and they've got that combo. I've got one of those combos, too, and it's not as tall and it's real wide. That one's maybe a little handier for deer camp because it's also like two fry pans together. So depending on what you need, one of those is going to be the most versatile thing you can bring, or both of them, but they are heavy. Mm-hmm. It violates your pack light rule.
Right, right.
But so
go with a 12-quart because most people are going to have one of eight,
something
10,
like that.
Quarts,
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah. So let's merge segments three and four. We're talking roast stew.
Well, you're
and
in
chili.
Four already, dude. So we're
talking roast stew and chili, but in four, we're supposed to try a butt, try a burger, try a meatloaf. You can do all those things in a Dutch oven.
Okay.
They're really that versatile. And yet, it's kind of like what we were talking about with the flat top. Like my big commercial one doesn't react so fast.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Dutch oven doesn't either, but here's what else it does. It doesn't forgive real fast either. So once you get that thing hot, I mean, you have to really pay attention and practice and regulate your heat because what you don't want to do is burn the stuff you throw in this wonderful thing that was made to make perfect food. You know, then you've, because you only bring an X amount of food.
Yeah.
And if you're not careful, you can get that nasty, bitter blackness on there and
burnt.
Then you feel like a fool. And you're supposed to be the grilling guy when you're at deer camp. If you're listening to this show, when you're at deer camp, you are the grilling guy. So, you know, don't mess this part up.
So how do I keep it from burning?
regulating your heat, being careful. So dig a little hole next to your, right on the side of your campfire, just dig it out a little bit and slide some coals into there and just set it on 2 inches of nice coals from the center of your fire.
Okay.
And if you want to cook a little faster and longer, the 12 quart has a ridge around the top, and you can put your coals on top of it as well.
And then on the lid.
On the lid. And that's really nice. So you got to bring some barbecue or oven mitts, because you're going to
welding gloves.
Yeah,
whatever,
so that's what I like. Yep. So you're gonna be handling hot cast iron, and it is not forgiving. Right. So when you're all done with your cook, don't forget, when you pull that thing off that little pit, scrape those coals back into the fire, because somebody might walk along there and ruin a nice pair of boots.
If you're drinking beer or other things while you're
eating.
Or
if a deer just ate your sock, you're going to have a barefoot.
Right, all right. You're going to have a barefoot, yeah. No need to prove to your buddies you can walk on fire.
So one of the nice things to do in that is, like, if you have any of last year's venison roasts, and I doubt that you do, if you have any organ meats or anything like that, the Dutch oven's good for that. You can throw your meat in for a couple hours. Maybe even, you know, we were talking country ribs the other day. There's a great opportunity for country
ribs.
Which is
cut pork shoulders.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you throw those in there and throw some barbecue sauce, put some oil on there, saute them up nicely, and then just put some barbecue sauce and onions and whatever you want. I'm getting hungry again. And not too much sauce, but then slide that over onto the tray gig and let her bake for 3 hours, 2 hours. I mean, you can do a whole chuck roast in 3 hours.
Right.
And it's fall apart fabulous.
Do you put any liquid of any kind? I mean, I've heard people cheat with a can of cream of onion or cream of soup to thin it a little bit. Because if you use one of those cream soups and you just put the can in there, there needs to be a little bit more liquid in it or it gets pasty on.
Absolutely.
You. So you can put beer, you can put milk, you can put whatever you want.
Well, depending
water, on, whatever you
yeah,
want.
Yeah. You know, if somebody brought up some beer you don't like, that's a great use for a can of bad beer.
Right.
And with it's good.
With that lid on there, you're steaming things.
Yeah.
Right? So you capture that flavor inside of this thing, and it is an amazing cooking
So we like
utensil.
To do sausage. I go to Sobeys and get the bulk sausage for deer camp.
Mm-hmm. Like breakfast sausage?
I'll have a 1 pound package of breakfast sausage. I'll saute that up, and then I'll throw a bag of frozen hash browns on there, the cubed or the shredded, doesn't matter. And then I'll crack about 12 eggs on top of that. And then I'll bury it in cheddar and mozzarella, and I'll just set that thing on for about, an hour. I'll have already cooked off that pork.
Okay.
So I want to make sure that's safe before I start adding ingredients. And then I put my frozen potatoes on there. And I'll very often have morning coals. I'll be just setting it right on where the campfire was.
Mm-hmm.
And there's enough coals there to make it really nice. You put the lid on that for a while. And, oh, man, after about 15, 20 minutes, the smell will drive everyone to the table.
How long does that have to – I mean, hot's hot, right?
Yeah, but, it depends on how hot your coals are, how thick your potatoes were. But
well, then how do you know it's done?
The smell.
Okay.
It'll drive you to it. It's done when your hunting partner says, "I'm eating."
Right, and you open it up, and the egg's got to be done, right? You got cheese on top of those, so the cheese is melted.
Mm-hmm.
So if the cheese gets hot enough to melt, the heat's coming from the bottom. Your eggs are done.
It's working all the way around it because you got the lid on it.
Yep.
But it's just that's a classic example of how one cookware can take care of a whole bunch of functions.
Right.
So you don't have to pack quite as much. But I'll tell you what, that is we do French toast in it. My buddy's wife used to do French toast, and she would put the toast in the bottom, real thick cuts of bread. She would make the batter, and then she would dollop cream cheese on there and then put Canadian bacon on it. And
you don't see that anymore.
And smother. Oh, yeah. Hey, you can get it right at Costco.
Really?
You can get it at Sobe, too. And then smother it with maple syrup and put that in there. Oh, my gosh. Make you beg for buttermilk,
right,
baby.
Man. Ooh, that sounds good. You know, there's a lot of things you can make ahead and warm up in that, too. Your stews, your chilies.
Beautiful.
If you don't want to spend an hour or a half hour cooking, It's a great warm-up vessel,
If you just tuned in, you're listening to the Dutch Oven Show on the Grilling Guys Talk
Network. Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
One of our favorite devices. But, again, it's just passion. It's food. Conrad, do you have a Dutch oven?
Heck no.
No?
No.
Does your wife?
My wife is Dutch. Does that count?
Christmas is coming up.
How come you don't have one? You don't cook?
I know why he doesn't have one, because nobody's ever taught him how to use it. It's the same reason I had one. I'm like looking at that thing. It's like, I'm not a big casserole guy. That's not my favorite thing.
You know, there's regulations about cults in this state.
Right.
I just wanted to let you know. And the cult of Dutch ovens is starting to scare me, you guys.
Yeah. That didn't take much.
No,
did it?
It didn't. You know what, though, Conrad? You can cook a squirrel in a Dutch oven.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
You know, I think we need to take him up to deer camp. Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, right. I've been to a few deer camps.
Yeah. I'm going up deer camp.
Well, you need to come to another one, because it'd be a lot of fun. Can we do this show remote? Can
sure.
You, all right, man.
We could do that. Yeah. You're going to scare away the deer talking up in the middle of the tree.
No. They'll smell the Dutch oven. They'll be right there.
We threatened to do this from deer camp multiple times.
Where's the Dutch oven tattoo, guys? That's what I'm waiting for.
Well, you know what? If you pick it up, you'll have one on your hand. It's always hot.
Good one.
Nice.
Good one. Randy's always good for a quick shot.
Yeah.
So pork butt's good in a Dutch oven. You can do hamburgers in them, honestly. If you have very low heat and some great big fat burgers, Sobey will make you up some blends of burger that's crazy. He'll blend like chuck with round with
brisket.
Tony.
Yep, exactly.
You can do a meatloaf in it.
So really what it is, you brought an oven with you.
And you brought an oven.
And you set it on there, it's closed. It's a closed area that heats from all sides. And it's portable.
But
right?
But meatloaf is, I mean, who doesn't like meatloaf? Do you like meatloaf, Conrad?
My wife's meatloaf is incredible.
Really? Do you know how she makes it? With love.
Yeah,
special ingredients?
Love. Yeah. Hey, honey, is it ready yet?
Is it like bread? Does she tear up stale bread, or does she buy the breadcrumbs Progresso? Or
breadcrumbs.
Uh-huh.
Definitely breadcrumbs.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good stuff. But anyway.
All right.
You've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. And, hey, if you're going out hunting like we are, be safe. Get up and down out of the tree and have a great time.
Yeah, give us a like on Facebook and have your wife do the same. See ya.
See ya.